Grab your Bibles and open up to Exodus chapter 20, and later we'll skip over to Colossians 3. Last couple weeks, we went off of our series because it was Palm Sunday and Easter, very special celebrations that we have, but we want to finish up our series that we called In His Image, as we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, and we see that they're not a harsh set of rules. They're an introduction to the character of God so that we can correctly carry His image as He created us to do. And by doing this, we can carry the two greatest commands. You remember the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all, and love thy neighbor as thyself. With the Ten Commandments, it helps us learn how to love God by knowing Him deeper. And it helps us love others by representing the character of God. So we've already looked at the first eight, and we saw the first four deal with honoring and loving God Himself. The first is no other gods. We are to carry the image of the one true God. And the second one is no graven image. God is higher than any created image. Third was honor His name. It represents His person. Fourth was to keep the Sabbath, and that we are to take rest in the work of Jesus. The next six deal with how we carry His image, how we show love to others. So the fifth one is all parents say amen to. It's honor thy father and mother. Because in them, we should be teaching our kids how to honor and love God. The sixth one was, thou shalt not kill, because God is life. Our commissioning is to introduce Jesus Christ to His life. The seventh, we saw no adultery. We are to be faithfully holy as God is holy. Eighth, we saw no stealing, as God is selfless and generous. And that's how we represent Him. And then we get to the ninth one, and we arrive at the one that's broken every day and justified so easily, even by you and I, if we're not careful. In Exodus 20, look at verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Thank You for being here today. Thank You for allowing Your Spirit to touch us. And Lord, I ask that we would submit to that touch. We would submit as You speak. That our hearts would be soft to be moved and to accept. Lord, that we'd understand that You give us a voice to praise You, to declare You, to worship You. And Lord, I ask that You give me the words to say, to challenge, to comfort. And Lord, that we walk out of this place hearing from You. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let us remember again, as we'll do with every commandment, that lying is not sinful because the Bible says not to lie. Lying is sinful because God is truth. And we're to carry His image. You know, lying is a word that we use to simplify the term don't bear false witness. Everything you say or promote claims that you are a witness and you have knowledge of a subject. A false witness will distract you from truth. And apply that to the life of a believer who's supposed to be a witness of the truth, Jesus Christ. And your life can be a distraction to the actual truth. In other words, you're being a bad witness for the Lord. Often what happens in this false witness, you insert anything that doesn't fit, anything that's false, adding to or embellishing a story. Remember that the fish was that big. They're going to have some big ones next Sunday night at the fish fry that you don't want to miss out on. See, I'm just trying to push it again. Sometimes we're false witness by twisting the truth, to make it more palatable, more exciting, more acceptable. And it can be a false witness by leaving out parts of the truth, the parts that we don't like, right? And so we're to be a true witness, not a false witness. And you notice who it says against whom? Look at there. Don't be a false witness against your neighbor. Who is a neighbor? If you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, everybody is your neighbor. Here's the difference. Brothers and sisters are believers. Neighbor is everyone. If I call you a brother here, because I believe we share the same father. I call you a sister here, because I know we share the same father. That you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and he adopted you into the family of God. And so you really are my brother and sister in Christ. But our neighbors are everyone. Everyone run into and talk to and deal with. And we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And lying to our neighbor is the opposite of loving them. Lying to our neighbor gives the wrong image of God that we're supposed to carry to them. The truth is, no one likes to be lied to, right? We get upset if we get lied to. If your kid does it, they lie to us, they should be punished. To teach, not out of anger, but to teach them the importance of being honest. If your friend lies to you, you no longer trust them. When your government gets caught, I'm not going to say when they do, just when they get caught, what happens? We get angry. We get mad. But how does God feel about lying? How does God feel about being that false witness? And the first point I want to look at is God's thoughts. In Proverbs, God is very direct. He gives us seven things he absolutely hates. You're probably familiar with this section. And I'm going to cut out all the other ones except the ones that deal with lying. Listen to this in Proverbs 6:16-19. It says, "These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him." So he gives us seven things that are an abomination. That's like hatred on steroids. Okay? And amongst those seven things, listen to two other things he names off. He says, "A lying tongue and a witness that speaks lies." Now, if you study those seven things, they're all different except for these two touch the same subject. And yet they're a little different. Two of seven things that God absolutely hates has to do with your honesty. Has to do with polluting truth. That's to lie with your mouth. To use your mouth to give false information. Or to lie by deceit. Whether it's by intent or accident. And often we lie because of pride. Pride keeps us from saying, "I don't know." And what do? We make up an answer. What is that? It's a lie. That's a lie. Because we are claiming to be a witness and have knowledge of something, and we give an answer that is not true. See, God does not consider lying a small sin. It's never cute or acceptable. It's never a little white lie. Don't let your kid get away with it because, it's not a big deal. Use it as a time of discipline, of teaching, because God will. God will use it in your life, and he will deal with it in our life to teach us, to draw us into the righteousness. To sanctify us. Listen to what God says in Proverbs 25:18. He says, "A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor." Listen to what he says a liar is. "A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, or soda, salt, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. These are some pretty brutal words that God uses speaking of a liar. He compares a liar, a false witness, to violence. Like weapons. Destructive and hurtful items such as a maul or a sword or an arrow. The maul would be more of a club. That your lying is the same as a weapon that injures people. See, he goes on, a liar is as good as having a broken tooth. Anybody been there? I think it was 2016. Was that the year? I was heading to Brazil. And the night before, my back tooth broke. The top half of it just completely came off. And you know what happens? It turns into these little sharp barbs of glass. The next morning, probably 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm leaving for the airport. Dentists don't usually up late at night. It's cutting the side of my mouth, and I had one option. Either cancel my trip, or Amy just happened to have a foot file. Was it a nail file that was unused? At least that's what I'm hoping. Just say it was unused. Oh, yeah. Right now, I could pardon your lie. Aw. And I took that sucker and I rounded off the tooth as much as I could. And then I got some of that little tooth stuff to take and drop on her throughout the trip. And God bless, it never hurt. It was chopping up the side of my mouth for a while. And I just kept grinding away with that file. But I know the annoyance of a broken tooth. I just got the tooth fixed last year, by the way. The whole point is broken tooth is miserable. And that didn't even get to the root. It hurts, and God compares a liar to that. He says, or a turned ankle, a foot out of joint. We've seen that happen, haven't we? Maybe you've been a part of that. Twisting your ankle, popping out of joint. And the pain, God says lying is like that. God's not using little cute words, is he? Saying it's. He says lying is like stealing and attacking, causing problems. Taking garments from someone in the cold weather. When they're thirsty, they're given vinegar that's been placed on top of soda. You see what happens there, right? It's like singing songs to people that are hurting. Mocking them. And he says lying is selfish. It's self-centered. It's very much the opposite of the character of God. Want to know what God truly says about liars? You got a lying problem? As Christians, oh, no, I don't lie. You have an exaggeration problem? You like stretching the truth or embellishing the truth? Listen to what Jesus says in John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and a father of it. Whew. When you lie, you reflect and you carry the image of Satan, the devil, the dragon, the serpent, right? So God just said, that's where falsehood comes from. Understand, lies are from our old nature. Before we've been adopted by the blood of Jesus. It comes from our old father. And remember, he continues to fight with you, even as you're a believer, trying to pull you back into that old person, trying to make you fall for those same sins. And the truth about him, he's not doing it for your own good. He doesn't care about others. Truth is, he's a murderer, Scripture says. He kills. He seeks whom he can destroy. For this reason, lying is normal to him. It's part of his character. He's a deceiver. And when we lie, we reflect him. And in the end, as God does away with sin-infested world, if you keep coming to our Revelation study on Wednesday nights, we're going to get to this in a few weeks. In Revelation 21, listen to this verse. Revelation 21, verse 8. Better yet, turn to it. Turn to Revelation 21. Because it's pointed out to me by a lady in this church years ago. Why would he word it this way? Revelation 21. In the end, as God is purifying the world, he's doing away with sinners, those that have never come to Christ. He's going to do away with all of creation. And as he cast into the lake of fire, look at what his promise is. In Revelation 21, go down to verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderer, and the whoremonger, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He goes through with all these big, nasty words describing the sins of unbelievers as he's casting them into eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And in the midst of that, it shows his feeling on lying. What type of liars did he say? All liars. Oh, but it's just a little white lie. Where do they get cast? Is it slander? You putting people down? You lying about people? You gossiping? Same hell, same lake of fire. Is your lie by omission, but not given a complete truth? If your lie of commission, saying you did something you didn't really do? A lie is a lie, and it will be punished. And we like to say, oh, God hates the sin and loves the sinner, right? Talk about this on Wednesday night. It's a beautiful saying because it is true. But we got to continue with that. Who is it that is cast into the lake of fire? Is it the sin or is it the sinner? See how truthful and honest we need to be with people that share the gospel of Jesus Christ? The wrath of God comes upon those that reject Jesus Christ. The sinner will be separated from God for all eternity. And it includes here, as God made it very clear, all liars. Now here's the scary thing. Let's try a hand raising in Baptist Church. Have you ever lied in your life? Raise your hand. If not, you're lying right now. So amen. Okay. Here's the cool thing. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been washed by his blood. Okay, we should be conforming to his image. We should be conforming to his truth. As a believer, a liar should no longer describe me. It should no longer describe you if you're a child of God, because we're called the truth. And unfortunately, we're still going to battle this flesh. But thank God that when he was on a cross, he knew what he was dying for, and he died for my sins. And so as I've placed faith in him, I'm no longer those things. I'm his child. I'm his son. A liar should not be anything that should be your reputation if you're a child of God. If you can think of a time that you've done that, man, run to repent, run to apologize. Make things right. We should display the character of God, not the character of our old master, the devil. And so first we see God hates lies. The second thing we see is God's character. Understand, as we walk through Scripture, we see that truth makes up God's character, makes up his essence, makes up his person. His whole character is truth. The one of the things that God cannot do is lie. God cannot lie. It's the reason Paul gave his life for the gospel, he tells in Titus 1:2, because God, in his testimony, he doesn't lie. It's the reason Abraham waited to see God's promise in Hebrews 6:18, because he knew God is faithful. He does not lie. Even Balaam, when he tried to sin and curse the Israelites, he knew God could not lie. Listen to what Balaam said about God the Father. Numbers 23:19 says, God's not a man that he should lie. He understood who God is. If God says it, you can count on it. Lying has no part in God. He has no reason to lie. Think about the reasons you lie sometimes. You have need. You're embarrassed. You're intimidated. You're scared. Right? God has none of those reasons. Those do not describe God. God is all-powerful. We know that as omniscient, or omnipotent, I'm sorry. God's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He doesn't need to lie. He's not intimidated or scared. God cannot lie. Jesus, God incarnate, said in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus didn't just possess truth. Jesus is truth. Eternal truth always leads to Christ. Always leads to him. He's come to us to share truth with us. To share his life with us. He is uncontaminated, untwisted, undiluted truth. That's the cool thing. When you walk through Scripture, you can see the truth. You can learn what's real. And that's what you're to be a witness of. Even God, the Holy Spirit, the third person, is truth. And John 16:13 tells us, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, does not differ from the other two persons of the Godhead. He too is truth. His job is always to convict, to comfort, to guide, to teach truth. The Holy Spirit's job is to always lead you to Christ. We don't see anywhere in Scripture it tells us to worship the Holy Spirit. Do you ever understand that? Because the Holy Spirit always comes to lead you to Jesus, to lead you to Christ. Naturally, being in the Godhead, when you worship God, he will be worshipped. But our focus and our worship and our praise in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's where he wants to lead us. And the Holy Spirit will always lead you in truth. He'll always align you with the word of truth. If there's ever something in your life that you feel compelled to do that is contrary to the word of God, it was not the Spirit of God that led you there. But understand, there are other spirits. There's evil spirits that also want to distract you. We'll call them demons. That want to distract you. Satan is called the angel of light because he'll pretend to have your best interest. But only the Spirit of God will guide you according to the Word of God because it is true. And when these three work together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they work together. 1 John 5:7 says this about them. For there are three that bear witness, that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. See, the law required that there be two to three witnesses in order to establish truth. Where is our truth? The Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. There are three persons becoming together as one God, and they establish the truth, and there is no lie and no deceit in them. Truth will always lead you to them. And so the person of God is established in truth. And so first we see that God hates lies. We see that God is truth. And the last one, what about the believer in truth? We must remember that we were created to carry the image of God. We can't nail that down enough. As a believer, God's will for you is to reflect Him, to carry His image, that He be seen in you. Then He tells us to raise our kids to do the same. So we should be known for truth and honesty, because the image we carry is one of truth. And this has not changed. That's why after salvation, 2 Corinthians 5:20 refers to us as ambassadors for Christ. That every word that we say should represent Him, because I'm an ambassador for Him. Every act I take should represent Him, because I'm His representative. My whole life should point to Jesus. He is truth. What relation do I have with truth? How does the truth pertain to me? I'm an ambassador of it. I represent it. I'm called to be a witness of it. That's why after salvation, we're going to be transformed. And how does that happen? In what we call Christ's high priestly prayer, as He prayed before being crucified. Listen to His sweet words in John 17 as Jesus speaks to the Father. In John 17, 16, 17, it says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." If you're in Christ, you're no longer of this world. It's awfully quiet out there. In this dark and weird and dirty and perverted and violent world, Christ says, you're not of this world. Don't be a part of it. Be separated from it. The stuff that happens in this world today should be putrid to us. It should not be entertaining to us. It should make us sick. It should wake us up and remind us who we represent. And this world needs more images of Christ. But if you're in Christ, you've been called and you've been saved with a heavenly purpose. You have a holy calling. You're a part of a royal family. You don't have to live in England. You're a part of a royal family. Why? Through the blood of Jesus, you've been adopted in to the family of the King. Family of God. See, Jesus' prayer was that we who are not of this world, that we are His children, that we be, did you catch that? Sanctified. That means to be separated from the old, separated into God's work. And Jesus was very clear. How does that happen? Only through His I struggle with my mouth and I say what I shouldn't say. How much are you in God's Word? The Holy Spirit will use God's Word to sanctify you, to change you, to transform you. I struggle with my thought life. How much are you in God's Word? And you're praying for the Holy Spirit to transform you. Sanctification happens in God's Word, His truth. Holy Spirit will purify us. And unfortunately, it's a slow process. It's a matter of growth. But you must be in God's Word. Why does everything we as a church do is focused on preaching and teaching God's Word? Because as a church, we're called to be sanctified, to be purified, to be His holy bride, spotless. And how can that happen? Only in God's Word. Why is it in your bulletin? We've got a book of the Bible for the month that together as a church we can read together so we can grow together, we can be sanctified together, challenged together. Why would you come and listen to a 15-minute sermon every Sunday? Hopefully to be challenged by His Word, to be sanctified a little bit more, to grow a little bit more. as we are sanctified, as we're transformed by God's word. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3, if you will. Colossians chapter 3. As we're sanctified and transformed by God's word, will we take on the character of the new father? Getting rid of the character of the old father, Satan, is tough. The flesh holds on to it. It wants us to continue that way. But Ephesians tells us it's tough. We need to put on that armor. So how are we sanctified? What do we do when we start to grow in the Lord? How will it change us? Look at what he says about bearing a false witness. Colossians 3, go down to verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Let's read that again. Watch this. Lie not one to another. That's the action. Okay, that's what we're called to do. Listen, you're now speaking truth. Don't lie to one another. Why is that going to change in our life? Why is that so important in our life? Because what does he continue here? Seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, because you're no longer old, but through Christ you have become new. And he continues, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. I'm not a new creature speaking truth because mama whipped it into me. And I got a lot of those. I haven't stopped lying because Oprah Winfrey told me it was wrong. I start speaking truth because the character of God starts being molded in my life. And I see that the whole life of Christ is about truth. And my calling is to be a witness of truth. And he says, don't lie to each other. You're not that man no more. If you like to exaggerate and lie and speak garbage, maybe you still are that man. Maybe you're still the old creation. You've not become new. Or maybe you're still struggling. Why? Because you're not in God's word being sanctified by the word of God. But when you'll start getting into God's word, now listen, it's not just to read. It's not just so I have more knowledge, but it's about intimacy with God and enjoying time with God. That's where sometimes we get burnt out on reading God's word. We're doing it because the Bible tells us, pastor said we're supposed to read this, and I don't understand nothing Jeremiah just said. Isaiah, whew, that's a tough one. Anybody read through that with me and you're with me? Isaiah's like, oh my goodness. But when I'm doing it because I love the Lord and I want to know him, I want to see his promises, I'm like, I didn't get that, so I'm going back for more. Yeah? I want to understand what he just said because I know it's good. And so there's got to be a purpose. Why do I dive into his words? Because I love him so much. I want him to be the priority of my life. I want intimacy with him. So after salvation, we put on a nature of the Father that's we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit as his. And we start to act in his knowledge and in his image. And when we are renewed in his image, it starts to change our words. If I used some of the words I used to use, I wouldn't be your pastor very long. And some of those same words I used to use make me so mad today. Why? Must be a God thing. You know, when we become in his image and we start having intimacy with God, it'll change our thoughts. It's kind of cool when you start doing your quiet time and you're faithful to reading God's word, how throughout the day you're thinking about some of the stuff you read about. And he's using that in your life. We call that meditating. Joshua tells us, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Yeah? That's what God wants in us. It's that deeper thinking of God's word and putting it in our lives. When I allow God's word to really sanctify me and let me start to carry more and more of his image, it's going to change my actions. It changes the way I treat people. way I talk to people. It'll change my priorities, and what I'm going to pursue is going to change what I'm committed to. It's going to change what I give to and what I serve. Why? Because I'm going to start carrying His image. I'm going to start loving the things He loves. I'm going to start doing the things He does. I'm going to speak the way He speaks. It's kind of neat when you're out somewhere and you meet someone new, and just by their speech you can tell, something different about you, brother. And you kind of find out they know the Lord because it changed their words. And as He changes us and sanctifies us, and the Holy Spirit uses His word to cleanse us, we can fulfill His greatest calling. I wasn't going to do this, but turn to Acts chapter 1. And that's where we're going to end. When He sanctifies us and He changes us, He's going to use us to fulfill the greatest calling He has for you and I. After Christ died and resurrected, and He walked this world for 40 days presenting Himself to believers, and He's leaving the earth. In Acts chapter 1, look at verse 8. He says this, "But ye shall receive power that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." It says, once you have the Holy Spirit, once you are sealed and marked by God as His through the blood of Jesus, and He transforms you and sanctifies you, you should no longer bear false witness, because He has called you now to be a witness of truth, a witness of Jesus Christ. God has chosen you to carry the name of Jesus to the uttermost parts of the earth. Where does that start? It starts right in your home. Then it goes to your neighbor. And it goes to work. And it goes to school. What? Now, we no longer speak what benefits just me, but I speak what lifts up truth and it benefits others. I speak of Jesus. You see, God tells us, don't bear false witness. Instead, you be a witness of Jesus Christ. See, when we lie, we stop representing God and we represent our old master. But as God's transformed us, He transforms us for our good, but for His glory, so that we can declare His truth. Would you stand with me? As we go out sometimes trying to represent Christ and live a holy life and live a pure life and use words that give grace and call people to Jesus, can be hard. But what God called us very often? What's a term Paul uses for believers? He calls us to be good soldiers for Christ. And you might know this song, so don't sing shy. Sing it loud, because we need to go forward with our voices. Onward, Christian soldiers. Thank you. First Samuel. I was close.